So we are in week 5, all about Jesus. And this week we are talking about the first disciples. And so as I always like to do, I like to look stuff up. And the definition of disciple is a personal follower of Jesus during his life, especially one of the 12 apostles. And disciples, what's another word for disciple? Follower. How about a partisan? Or an adherent? Partner. But so we're talking about the first disciples this week, and we sit there and we say, well, how did these guys become the first disciples? Well, it actually started with an invitation. So I want to give you a little historical context. Jesus, at this time, was about 30, and he was beginning his public ministry, which is pretty normal at that time. It fits with the rabbinical traditions of the time where a rabbi would start taking on students when he got to that age. He'd finished his training, becomes a rabbi, he starts taking in students. And formal education for Jewish children would usually end at about the age of 15. Now, if those children, mainly only men, were bright enough or their families had enough money, they could start studying under a local rabbi. Sort of like if you get accepted to college, and it was about being accepted, or more along the lines of being invited. If the local rabbi invited them, they could accept that, and then they would start studying underneath that rabbi and learn and learn. And so, but if they didn't get accepted to college at the local rabbinical institute, more likely what they would do is they would enter the workforce, and that would be an apprenticeship under their father, or they'd be working for their family. And so as we go to our first scripture here, you can see that that's what happened with a lot of the first disciples. Mark 1, 16 through 20. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And when they had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him, followed Jesus. I find that interesting. You know, Jesus, isn't it like a, you know, the local temple working as a rabbi? He's just walking along the shore. And so just like Jesus invited his first disciples, Jesus invites you to join him. And really, the age doesn't matter. Remember the context of the time, like I was talking about. These guys were probably not much older than you are currently. You guys are, some of you are in middle school and you're 12, 13, but 15, 16, 17, most of these guys were probably from 15 to 17 years old. It mentions in Matthew 8, 14 and 15 that Peter had a wife. And more than likely, he was the only one of the first 12 that was actually married. The rest of them were single guys. And Jesus comes along, says, hey, I want to make you fisher of people. And away they go. And so what are we going to do? What are we going to do with that invitation. And when you get an invite, sometimes you get a little thing at the bottom that says RSVP. Now, who knows what RSVP actually stands for? Respondez, s'il vous plaît. That's right. It's French. And it means responding to an invitation, whether or not you're attending or not. Now, how many people get an RSVP and they don't do anything with it at all? They just kind of stick it in a box and they're thinking about it and they're going, I don't know. Don't know if I'm going to accept this invitation or not, right? Or worse, you get an RSVP and you don't send it in and then you go anyway. And there's another French term for when you do that. You know what it's called? That's a faux pas, right? That's faux pas to go to a party and received an invitation, but you didn't really say you were going, right? You just kind of showed up. But an RSVP is an invitation. And like any invitation, you have to make a decision. You got to make a decision whether you're going to accept that invitation or you're going to decline the invitation. And sometimes when you have that RSVP, it's a hard decision to make because why? Well, maybe something better is going to come along. How many have had that thought before? I don't know if I want to commit to that party and say I'm going to go to the party because I'm really holding out for this other person to invite me to that party, and that could be a better option, right? So there may be a little bit of fear to the commitment. Because when you commit to an RSVP, especially if they're like they're serving dinner and it's a wedding, you know, when you go to a wedding nowadays, you know how much a plate costs when they count people up at a wedding? It can be like $100. And so if you say, oh, I'm going to the wedding, and then you don't show up, it's $100. That person's out $100. So there's like this little bit of fear of committing to that, right? Leads us to our next scripture, Luke 9, 57 through 62. And as they were walking, this is the disciples, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, this is Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first I must go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And as I thought about that last verse where Jesus is talking about no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God, what he's talking about is that, okay, think about a plow. You're doing the work now. You're a disciple, right? Or you want to be a disciple. And think about being behind a mule or an ox at that time, right? And your hand's on the plow, but you're kind of looking, eh, what I had before. If you're looking back, you're not looking forward, and you're really not committed. And to be able to follow Jesus, it takes a solid commitment. Just like, next slide. Thank you. Following Jesus takes a solid commitment. And just like RSVing takes a commitment, albeit maybe not as serious as following Christ, it still takes a commitment. Jesus' first disciples, think about this. Jesus' first disciples were with him for 3 years. Before he was crucified, right? And then he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. And he was with them a little longer. And they weren't the only disciples. Jesus sent out like another 70 disciples out during his teaching. But I mean, you saw the verse. They were working. They were working on their fishing nets. Hey, come with me. I'm going to make you a fisherman. Down go the nets and away they go. And did they say, hold on, Jesus. I got to go back to the village, to my house. I got to pack a bag. I got to get my good sandals, you know, right? I got to get my cologne, my goat cologne or whatever it was at the time. No, they just dropped everything and started going with him. And back to the verse in Luke. You don't have to go back to it, but I'll read it for you. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." They didn't know where they were going. They were just going town to town. They were on, who's heard this one? God's good graces, right? They were just walking around. Now, to me, that takes commitment. They dropped everything. Just up and dropped and took off. So, back to our decision. Why is it hard to commit? Why do we think it's hard to commit? Because usually when you commit to something, there's another word that goes along with it, and that's called sacrifice. Okay? And it could be you sacrifice your time. You could sacrifice your friends. And believe me, if you're sacrificing your time and your friends, you're probably sacrificing your comfort level. You're going to be a little uncomfortable. But if you lose a couple friends because of Jesus and you're a little uncomfortable and maybe you don't have all the time to play Fortnite and learn how to do whatever that dance is they do that I almost threw my hip out trying to learn. The floss, that's it. Are they really rejecting you? No, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. And believe me, the disciples in that day, they were sacrificing and they were risking probably a lot more than just some family and some friends. Jesus' followers at the time, it was that the following or that group, it was called the Way, okay? And how many of you people listen to the fish, 95.5 the fish? And there's a little symbol, the fish. You guys know how they came up with that? That's how, what's that? That's how Jesus' followers, listen guys, this is how Jesus' followers identified each other when they were out and about. They would walk up on the ground and they would take one part of it and they would draw one half of the fish. And then if the other person was a Christian, another follower of Christ, they would draw the other half. And that's how you got the fish. And that's how they identified each other. Kind of neat, huh? But here's the point. The point is that what were they risking? Well, remember, they were risking literal persecution and potentially death, right? Okay? So, following Jesus takes a solid commitment. But you know what? Here's the thing, and this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus does almost everything with just ordinary people. The last 2 weeks, we've learned about the woman at the well 2 weeks ago when Jordan talked, right? She was what? Prostitute, had five husbands and the other guy, or four husbands and the other guy that she was living with that wasn't her husband. And what did he do? He talks to her. She goes back to the village. And the next thing you know, all these people are following Jesus. Bang. Ordinary person. Last week, we learned about Zacchaeus, right? He was a tax collector. Short guy, Napoleon type issue, right? But what happened with him? He got hooked up with Jesus. And the next thing you know, he's talking about giving all the people their money back and then some to make restitution. Saul, Paul, everybody knows about his story, right? Blinded on the road to Damascus. He literally was killing Christians. He's the guy that they were worried about, and that's why they were doing the fish thing. Right? David. The Bible is literally littered with stories of ordinary people doing amazing, amazing things for God and for Jesus. Now you look at those early disciples again. Young teenage men that he sent out into the world to spread the news. That was a great commission, right? Go out and spread the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, this is about the time where you're like, I'm into it. I'm into it. The body is willing, but the, what's that?
Mind is not.
The mind is not, right? This is about the time where Satan starts talking to you and saying, no, you can't do this, right? You're not good enough. You don't have the ability to do this. You suck, right? But I'm going to tell you, the best ability that anybody can have is availability. So my question for you guys, are you going to be available for your family? Are you going to be available for your friends? Are you going to be available for your classmates? Are you going to be available for your neighbor? Are you going to be available for the person in line next to you at Starbucks or at Acme or you name the place? Are you going to be available when Jesus gives you an opportunity to be that disciple, to be that person that's spreading the good news? Are you willing to put yourself out there and be uncomfortable? Because who knows, that person next to you in line at the grocery store or at Starbucks that is a dollar short and you pull a dollar out and you give it to them, that might be the only kind thing that happened to them that day. And that could open up an opportunity for you to talk to them about Jesus. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. And I'll be the first one to admit, it's hard. I struggle with it. There are still family members that I have not talked to. But I can tell you one I talked to, and I almost waited too long. My dad care flighted from Dayton Heart Hospital to the Cleveland Clinic. He had a bad heart. This was spring of 2010. I met him in the OR room before he went in for open heart. And that is where he accepted Christ. Now, why is it so hard? Family's the hardest. Strangers are actually the easiest, probably. Family's hard, why? Because you might get rejected. It'll sting, right? It's going to hurt. But I can tell you one thing from personal experience. That sting is nothing, nothing, nothing compared to the joy that you get when you lead a family member or somebody else to Christ. And when I walked out of that OR room, I had no worries. I may not see my dad again on earth, alive, but I knew I was going to get to see him forever. And that buys a lot of joy. So, as I'm mentioning, and you've probably gathered, time is extremely short. So I ask that you don't let those opportunities pass you by. In James 4, 13 and 14, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to this certain town and we will stay there for a year and we will do this business there and we will make profit. But how do you know what your life will be tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It is here for a little while and then it is gone. Now that may be just fine if you've already accepted Christ as your personal Savior. But when I think about this, you may be gone tomorrow. So the point is, who'd you talk to today? Right? Your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your friend, your classmate, the person next to you at Acme. Their life is like a morning fog. And it's gone. And I hate to be pointed about this conversation, but it is a serious conversation. That morning fog, their life's gone, right? Who here has a family member, friend, classmate, count them up, suicide, car wreck, cancer, 20 people in a limo, gone in an instant. Your life's like a morning fog. And those people, all of them, 20 people, my dad, because guess what? He survived that surgery, and a year later, he got a new heart. And I thought everything was great. I'm going to have my dad for another 10 years, 20 years. And he had a massive aneurysm, and he was gone. I was on vacation. I never saw him alive again. Did it hurt? hurt bad. My dad was my best friend. But I know where he's at. I know I'm going to see him again. And that is why God pulled those first disciples out and the other 70 disciples out, and why he wants to make disciples of each and every one of you. And that brings us to tonight's connection point. And tonight's connection point is this. What is keeping you from being fisher of men? You can bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. We can never, ever pay you back for that sacrifice. But we can do what you've asked us to do. We can do what you asked us to do, which is to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. So, Lord, thank you for the privilege of talking to these young men and women tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to talk to my dad about you. And I know I'll see him one day. And, Lord, I pray that you give me the strength and courage to talk to the rest of my family members that I haven't, because I know it's hard. So when I say that, I know it. These kids are thinking the same thing. It's tough. But you'll be there for us. Give us that opportunity and let us take that first step. Open our mouth and talk to those family members, Lord. And finally, Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here tonight who hasn't made that decision, who's not made a decision to just drop all the burdens and all the pain and all the worry and guilt and crap this world throws at them, and just throw it at your feet and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore by myself. I can't do it. I need you to carry this burden for me, and we know you got our back. If there's anyone here tonight that hasn't done that, Lord, I pray they come up to me when I get done talking, or maybe 5 minutes later. I'll be standing here, just say, hey, I want to talk to Kevin or any other leader here. I want to know more about what it is to have this invitation to join Christ, to be a follower of Christ, and to know where I'm going to spend eternity. Because I want to spend eternity in heaven. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. Please come and talk to me tonight. Lord, thank you for this privilege, and we'll give you all the praise. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.